The Book Nook on WYSO is made possible by five local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Clark County Public Library, the Dayton Metro Library, and the Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I am delighted to have Lara Elena Donnelly as my guest on the program today. Hello, Lara. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Vic. It's a pleasure to be here.
What an exciting day for you. Tell us what's going on, Lara.
Well, it's my book release today, and so far, Twitter and Facebook have been lighting up. I've been having a really good time replying to comments, retweeting. There's a lot of guest blogs coming out today. I wrote lots of guest blogs to appear on other authors' websites, so it's been really exciting to see people reacting to those.
And they are reacting to the fact that today your first novel, Amberlow, has just come out, published by Tor Books, and this is kind of the culmination of a journey for you, isn't it?
It is. I first came up with the idea for this book years and years and years ago while I was studying abroad in Ireland, and it's gone through a bunch of iterations. It was a series of short stories that became a novel, and that novel was revised multiple times, and now it's a real live book that I've gotten to hold in my hands that other people get to read, and I'm really excited about it.
What was the inspiration? Where'd you get the idea?
Well, it sort of came as a mix of several different experiences, right? So I first watched the movie Cabaret in, I think, 2008. I first watched that movie and really, really loved it and kind of carried it close to my heart for years. And then I was studying abroad in Ireland and went on a road trip all around the coast of the island. And when we got up north, we drove through the Sheaffrey Pass, which is like the furthest north in the Republic of Ireland that you can get. And it's this really beautiful, desolate, windswept place. Not a lot of people live up there. And it's just, it was gorgeous and really lonely. And I got an idea for a scene. I didn't know who the characters were. I didn't know why they were there or why they were interacting the way that they were. But I had this scene just pop into my head. And it turned into like the last scene in the novel. So I wrote the last scene of the novel first, not having any idea where it had come from. And then later ended up incorporating sort of my love for Weimar Berlin and Christopher Isherwood, which grew out of my watching Cabaret that first time. And so I managed to combine somehow Cabaret, the musical, and the most desolate part of the Republic of Ireland into a novel.
Some of our listeners are probably wondering, who's Christopher Isherwood?
Christopher Isherwood is an author who spent a lot of time in Berlin right before World War II. Mm-hmm. He's written a lot of other novels, but he's probably most famous for, it's a duology of a novel called Mr. Norris Changes Trains, and then sort of a collection of short stories called The Berlin Stories. And they're these semi-fictionalized accounts of his life in Berlin in the mid-30s. So he was a gay man living in Berlin and wanted to write about his life as a gay man in Berlin, but couldn't really write about himself because there was a lot of stigma attached to being gay at the time. And so he sort of externalized his experience and wrote fiction about it. And in the Berlin Stories, the character's name is Christopher Isherwood. So he's writing about a fictional version of himself, and it's really, really interesting, like, the way that those stories then became a stage play, which became a musical, which became a movie, and then Christopher Isherwood returned to those stories later in life and wrote a semi-fictionalized memoir. They're really, really fascinating. I would really recommend them to anyone who's interested in kind of 1930s culture and meta-narrative.
Lara Elena Donnelly joins us. Her novel is Amberlow. She joins us by telephone from Harlem, New York. And Elena, Amberlow is modeled a little bit on that wild period in the 30s before World War II in Germany, when Berlin was a fairly decadent place, wasn't it? And I'm wondering how you came up with this fictional world. Tell us about Amberlow and where it's situated and what surrounds it and this country that you've imagined.
So Amberlow, the country of Ghetto, which is where this novel takes place, is a loose federation of four nation states, of which Amberlow is one. And the capital of Amberlow is Amberlow City, which is where the majority of the story takes place. And it happens right on the verge of an election there's a rising sentiment of nationalism and xenophobia in a way that sort of uncomfortably echoes our current political climate in the United States. And I was writing this like 2 years ago and had no idea that the publication would coincide with current events. But regardless, in the novel, there's an election that is about to happen, and this fairly permissive and also like politically corrupt. So socially permissive, but the government itself is like not particularly functional in any healthy way. So there's this movement to kind of clean things up, not only in a policy way, but also in like a sort of social hygiene way. Mm-hmm. And Amberlow City, which is like the cosmopolitan cultural capital of Ghetto, is one of the last places to kind of fall under the sway of this nascent fascist movement. And you get to watch the decadence crumble under the onslaught of authoritarianism.
And it feels like the 20s or 30s, doesn't it?
Yes, it's very – I called it a vintage glam spy novel in a lot of my promotional materials. Mm-hmm. It has a really old school 1930s bias cut gowns, steno pools, uh-huh. table lighters for your cigarettes. Everyone in the book smokes cigarettes. I recently said in an interview on a blog, they said, "What's one thing that the book description doesn't tell us about Amberlow?" And I said, "This book contains so many cigarettes that it should come with a Surgeon General's warning." Because, you know, everyone in old movies is just constantly lighting a cigarette, smoking it, and holding it very elegantly. And it's a great beat to have as a writer when you're trying to come up with a dialogue tag or, like, have a character complete some physical action to express an emotion. Cigarettes are great for that. Obviously terrible for your health, but very helpful to you as a writer.
Your character, Cyril DePaul, heads on a mission outside of Amberlow and discovers that among some residents of this country, cigarettes are not approved.
Oh, yeah. So part of that, like, social hygiene program that the nascent fascist movement is kind of pushing is this idea that cigarettes and alcohol are very decadent. They're pretty anti-decadent, and they're based in a religion. So the religion is only tangentially mentioned in the narrative, but the leader of the fascist party is in fact a deeply religious person, and it's a sort of like puritanical anti-decadence type religion. So cigarettes and alcohol, like anything essentially that you can procure in Amberlow City, is like looked down upon by these people. So yeah, cigarettes definitely are not, they're on the bad list.
Are those the Harthers? Is that what you call them?
Yes, the Harthers.
Okay, the Harthers. My guest is Lara Elena Donnelly. Her novel Amberlow just came out today. It's the official publication date as we're recording this. Introduce us to your main characters.
There are three main characters in Amberlow, and those are Cyril DePaul, Aristide Macricosta, and Cordelia Lehane. And Cyril is a spy. He was a field agent, and he had a mission that went horribly wrong in a way that is only vaguely alluded to. And so he was pulled from the field and given a desk job, And at the beginning of the novel, he is engaged in an ill-advised affair with his professional rival. So he's the head of federal investigation into smuggling in Amberlow City, and is carrying on this torrid affair with a black market kingpin, Aristide Macrocosta, who, in addition to being sort of the king of the city's underground, is also an MC at the Bumblebee Cabaret and Nightclub, where he goes on stage every night in elaborate outfits and has hundreds of devoted fans. And he works with Cordelia Lehane, who is the burlesque dancer at this nightclub. And when things start to go really wrong for Cyril, Cordelia becomes a linchpin in a lot of his plots and plans and a lot of Aristide's plots and plans. So she goes from being this sort of small-time drug dealer and stripper to instrumental in the plot of the novel.
When they refer to tar, is that opium?
Yes.
Okay.
There's something in science fiction and fantasy that's a convention called calling a rabbit a smearp, which is when you take something that everyone would recognize and you give it a ridiculous name in order to make people feel like they are in another time or place or dimension. And it's generally sort of frowned upon, but I liked the idea of having a drug that was maybe recognizable. Opium feels very freighted, right? Like it's been in so many narratives. Mm. It's already had so many stories told about it. So I wanted to have a drug that was sort of recognizable in its effect, but that wasn't on the face of it called opium. But it is. It's a poppy-derived narcotic.
Okay. Well, Larry, you have a wonderful facility with language, and it's just delightful to read this story because you really write like an angel. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I think I should point out that Lara grew up in Yellow Springs and that she is coming back to our area for a swing through on book tour. And she's got four events in our region, and I'd like to tell you about them. But first, I'd like to ask Lara what it was like growing up in Yellow Springs.
Yellow Springs was a wonderful place to grow up because our school systems are just so supportive. We have some of the best school system, like public school system, in the country. And being able to get the kind of arts education that I got just in the public schools in Yellow Springs was really instrumental in me becoming a writer. I had a lot of very supportive, very talented teachers, and I'm so thankful that I got to work with them.
Observing you over the years from afar, I've gotten the sense that this is something you've wanted to do for a long time.
Yes, I have. I almost went to school to pursue art. Like, I almost went to art school. But I've always been really, really involved in all kinds of creative pursuits. And writing is something that I've always made up stories. My mom is a wonderful writer. She told me great bedtime stories. And I started formally writing, I guess, in fifth and sixth grade at Mills Lawn Elementary in Miss Pettiford's class. She would give us prompts. We would write fiction. I ended up going into Power of the Pen in middle school, which is a competitive short fiction sort of, it's like sports, but for writers. Like, you go to, there's a district and a regional and a state level, and you go and compete against other young writers. And then spent high school and college just writing and writing and writing. I've always been pursuing this.
As Lara rolls out Amberlow, you can meet her. She has an event at Books and Company in Dayton, and that is coming up on Wednesday, February 15th at 7 o'clock. She'll be there for a reading and signing. That's Books and Company at the Green in Beaver Creek. And then she's making a swing down into Kentucky. She will be at Joseph Beth Booksellers on Thursday, February 16th at 7 p.m. For those of you listening in the Cincinnati region, that's not too far from you. You can drive down and meet her in Lexington on Thursday, February 16th, Joseph Beth Booksellers, 161 Lexington Green Circle. On Friday, February 17th, She'll be at Carmichael's in Louisville, and that's at 7 o'clock, and that's at 2720 Frankfort Avenue. And that's kind of a homecoming for you too, isn't it?
Yeah, I moved to Louisville after college. So after college, I actually attended the Clarion Writers Workshop, which is a science fiction and fantasy workshop held in San Diego. So right after graduation, I went out to San Diego for 6 weeks, and when I came home, I really wanted to move somewhere, be independent, make a fresh start. And my dad's family is from Louisville, so I was familiar enough with the city to know I really liked it. I had family down there as a support network, so I just up and moved. I packed my car, and I drove down. I had a friend who had a friend who was looking for a roommate, and I made the move sort of with the explicit intent that I was just going to get a job, like a low mental demands job. I ended up working in a coffee shop and spend time writing a novel, which was not Amberlo. I was working on a novel set in Louisville, and I finished it up. And while I was kind of shopping that around, I started working on Amberlo because I'd been writing the short stories, and they just weren't quite. The first one actually was my first short story sale, which I sold while living in Louisville and was very excited about. I was trying to follow it up with a second short story that just wasn't working, and my mom read it and said, I think you're trying to fit too much into this short story. Why don't you write a novel? And I was like, no, 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 that would never work. That would never work. And then I realized that, of course, it was the only way to do it. So while I was shopping around that novel set in Louisville, which didn't end up selling, I wrote Amberlo, which did.
Lara Elena Donnelly joins us. We're talking about Amberlo, her debut novel just published by Tor Books. Today is the official publication date, and she will be coming through our area. And then she's got that hometown signing in Yellow Springs right here, beautiful Yellow Springs, Ohio, at Dark Star Books. And she'll be there on Saturday, February 18th at 3 o'clock. And I think that's probably going to be kind of a crazy signing for you.
I'm really excited about it. I always enjoy coming back to Yellow Springs and catching up with people. I've shopped at Dark Star since I was embarrassingly young. I used to buy my Pokemon trading cards there. So I am really excited to come back and sign at Dark Star.
You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world. I have memories of seeing you perform as a fire dancer with Soulfire Tribe, and weren't you also in Egyptian Breeze?
I was not in Egyptian Breeze, but I did take belly dancing classes when I was in college and
okay.
Performed a couple times around in the area. Was never in Egyptian Breeze, but was in Soulfire Tribe.
Okay.
I miss fire spinning a lot, so hopefully I'll be able to see some of my Soulfire Tribe people when I get back in town.
Well, you're the second Soulfire Tribe member to appear on this program recently. We had Estrella Taylor on for her novel last year.
Oh, yeah. I do remember her writing that. That's exciting.
And
so you've got a history now. You have a track record of fire-spinning novelists.
I tipped her off that your book was coming out, and she was delighted to hear that. I'm wondering, how has dancing like that made you a better writer, and how did it help you write this novel?
There are a lot of scenes in Amberlo that take place either on stage or backstage of the Bumblebee Cabaret. In addition to being a fire spinner, I have been a theater kid since earliest memory. I think I don't even know when my first show is, but I did start doing Yellow Springs Kids Playhouse, YSKP, at around 8 years old, and did it every year until I graduated from high school, pretty much. So I've been on stage since I was a wee one, and then Soulfire Tribe sort of through college until I moved. And that really helped me with the way I feel like theater people and performers have a really specific way of kind of approaching social interaction and the world in general. And there's also just a really amazing atmosphere backstage of a theater. So it was really satisfying and very fun to be able to bring those experiences to bear in writing a novel, which is a very different and very solitary experience compared to being in a show or performing on the street.
In case you're just tuning in, my guest in the Book Nook today is Lara Elena Donnelly. Her novel, Amberlow, just came out officially today as we are recording this, published by Tor Books, which is a major publisher, and they did a nice trailer for the book. And I'm wondering, what was the thing like for you to get the book deal? How did this work? How long did it take you, and how did it happen?
So I went about it in a sort of cockeyed manner. Usually what you do is write the book and then submit it to agents for representation, and then the agent submits it to a list of editors, like it goes on submission. What I did was write the book, go to a conference. There's a conference called ICFA every year in March in Florida, and I've been going since I was in college. And so I went to this conference knowing that I had a finished manuscript. It still needed some edits, but it was basically ready to pitch to people. And my editor was there, and I ended up in a situation where someone had asked me, oh, what kind of things do you write? And this editor from Tor was sort of standing in a circle where we were talking, and I realized that this was my moment, right? I had prepared this pitch. It was my moment to give it. And she was interested and asked me to send it to her when I was done revising. So I sent it to her, and she read it. She had some revision suggestions, but hadn't actually offered to buy it. She just sort of gave me an edit letter, like unattached to any contract. So I made the revisions, realizing that I really, really ought to get an agent as soon as possible, because she seemed very positive about the manuscript. Uh-huh. So I had sort of de facto sold the book and had to query agents telling them that I had strong interest from Tor and needed someone to negotiate whatever contract might be forthcoming, because I had a strong sense one would be. And then I signed with my agent, Connor Goldsmith, at Fuse Literary, and 10 days later we had negotiated the contract with Tor, and I signed and sold the book. And that was in January 2015, and publishing is a very slow business. Mm. So the book is coming out now about 2 years and 1 month later.
That's a wonderful story about how you did that. What you put in the work, though, didn't you? You kept going to that conference. You kept doing the things you needed to do to get the attention.
Yeah, I think people really underestimate how useful in-person networking can be. I have a good friend who sold a book the very traditional way, where he just submitted to an agent via Slush, and then that agent took the book on sub, and there was very little sort of face-to-face networking involved. And that's definitely a viable way to do it, but I think less well-known is sort of this, like, in-person networking strategy as a writer, because we think of writing as a very solitary pursuit, but it can be really useful to get out there and talk to people face to face.
And I'm guessing that there's another novel in progress or in the can that you're hoping to sell, or maybe you've already sold it.
I've got some short stories coming out. I'm working on more short fiction. So this will not be the last that you hear from me, I hope.
How important is social media in your whole planning and how you're going forward with this project?
I think social media is really useful in terms of connecting with readers and promoting what you're doing. It can also be a horrible distraction for when you are actually trying to write new content and find yourself on Twitter talking to your friends who are other writers who are also procrastinating on writing their manuscripts. But I think it is a really fun way to reach out to people who might be interested in what you're writing.
Lara Elena Donnelly is my guest on the program today. Her novel, Amberlow, just coming out, and she's going to be in our area for some events. She's swinging through for 4 dates, and you can catch her. She'll be at Books and Company at The Green Wednesday evening, February 15th at 7 o'clock for a reading and signing, followed Thursday night, February 16th at 7 o'clock. She'll be at Joseph Beth Booksellers in Lexington. Then she's going to pop into Louisville on Friday, February 17th at Carmichael's for 7 o'clock signing. And then closing it out in her hometown of Yellow Springs, she'll be at Dark Star Books, 237 Xenia Avenue in Yellow Springs, reading and signing Amber Lowe at 3 o'clock on Saturday, February 18th. And this is all very exciting, and I'm glad that I could be a part of your release day.
I'm very excited to be on the Book Nook. I've listened to it for a very long time, and the idea that I would be on as a guest author is just, I'm flabbergasted.
Well, it's been a long time coming. You've put in the work, right? Has Harlem been a nice place for you to be a writer? It seems like you're really blossoming there.
I really love my neighborhood. I've got a great local coffee shop. I see them every Saturday morning. They know me now. They know my order. And it's sort of my office away from my home office because I do work from home, which is really conducive to writing. It's great. I have a very writing-conducive life right now. So hopefully, once book launch is done, they don't tell you that book launch involves writing so many blogs. I haven't written fiction for like the last 2 weeks because I've been prepping for book launch and writing so much nonfiction to go on other people's blogs.
When you were talking about working at home, are you indicating that there's another job that you're doing that is your day job?
There is.
Okay.
I work a day job, as many writers I know do, because writing, your income from writing, unless you're J.K. Rowling or Stephen King, right, your income from writing, and even then, it's not a guaranteed source of income.
Mm-hmm.
And as just someone with a debut novel out, to support myself, I have to have, you know, that paycheck every 2 weeks and health insurance and a 401k. Like, that's a really nice security network.
Mm. I was impressed. I'm not sure exactly how old you are, but as I read Amber Lowe, I thought, you know, this is such mature writing, and you're so well read. And I would think that anyone that read this book would think, oh, she's got to be older than she is.
Well, my 27th birthday is coming up in March. So there's the answer to that question. And I, like I said, sold the book 2 years ago. I started writing it in 2013, and it went through a couple stages of revision. So, yeah, I started writing it in my early 20s.
Well, it's also a fun read, and there's romance and fantasy and espionage, and it's a thriller, too.
Yeah, I was talking to someone recently who said, you know, when I first heard this book described, I thought it sounded like a really fun, sexy romp and just the kind of thing that I would like to read. And then the election happened, and it has now become the promotional language that's been used to talk about it has sort of morphed from sexy, fun espionage romp to like a book for our time, shockingly timely, like, whether or not this book sells will somehow like indicate the outcome of the American Republic. Like, it was really interesting to watch the way that people talk about the book shift as current events developed. But it is, despite being a very political book, also a really like high stakes, high tension, exciting, sexy thriller.
Well, Lara, congratulations on your publication date and on your prescience, and thank you so much for being my guest on the program today.
Thank you for having me on.
You've been listening to The Book Nook. My guest has been Lara Elena Donnelly. Her novel is Amber Lowe. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McKeonis.